Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. We are the AmeriChicks. I'm Kim Munson.
I'm Molly Vogt.
And check out our website. It's AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. And that's where we are on Twitter and Facebook as well. We are the AmeriChicks. And you know what we do, Molly? We are sleuths for truth. We educate, inspire, and engage by dissecting issues, as looking at them as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And the other thing, our other new little byline, we've been doing it. We just put a name to it. We're lobbyists for the little guys.
Absolutely, because the big guys got enough lobbyists. You've got all these politicians and bureaucrats and the agencies, alphabet soup. Everybody's covered. The unions are covered. Everybody's covered with all of our money. But who's looking out for us?
Yeah.
The little guy that doesn't get carve-outs, that doesn't get special treatment, that has to work hard every single day for everything that we earn and give half to the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking out for us.
Yeah, that segues beautifully into a news story that's on my radar, and that is apparently the economic development deal has been presented to Amazon for Amazon Headquarters 2 here in Colorado. Now, we don't know the details. It's all secret. That's all secret. It's our money, but it's all secret. Mm-hmm. And, if Amazon wants to come to Colorado in a free market, in a fair market, where they don't get special deals. Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah, I don't think they should need deals. They're huge.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, Molly, is the big guys get all the carve-outs, and the little guys, the guys that pay the taxes for this.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying that Colorado is such a great place to live, and it's such a wonderful educated force, and that we've got the mountains, and so that they're implying that there is no money there. But I've heard that there's a lot of money involved.
I think there's a lot of money
involved. And in fact, we'll just see. But the problem with how this whole thing comes down is this is all done in secret. It's almost signed, sealed, delivered before the people that have to pay for it actually even see it. And just think about it. We have businesses that communities have said, hey, we don't want you here. They're going to pay full fare. And you've seen people say, we don't want Walmart here. We don't. Walmart provides a service for people as well, products at a low price. And people have said, hey, we don't want that. And they stand against that. They use governmental power to stop a business coming in. And now here, it's almost like salivating all over themselves that they want Amazon here. And if Amazon wants to come in with no carve-outs, no special deals, that's fine. But the other thing about it is they anticipate 50,000 jobs. Think the cost that we are going to have to incur for our roads and for our infrastructure and for our schools and for our fire stations. It's pretty significant. And I think that we really need to think this thing through instead of just gushing that, oh, Amazon, oh, I want them.
Well, and the point is, too, one of the things that we do is because we say it's not right versus wrong, it's right versus left, is we like to look at what the policies are that politicians are passing. What is it that they are doing? And while it all sounds so great for everybody because they just wrap it up with a pretty little bow, but actually look long term. What does this mean for us, the little guy? And so I think that we need our local city council folks and our state legislators and governor, they all need to read the art of the deal. Because when it's your money that you're spending and you are going to be negotiating a deal, you're going to make sure that it makes sense. And if somebody wants to come into your area and do business, and you think that they are going to be a company that people are going to like, they're going to want to go line up and spend their hard-earned money for it, then you set a good deal that they should be able to come in. They should be paying us. Amazon should be paying Colorado to come to Colorado. We should not be paying them. There's no reasons for our government to be picking winners and losers and giving taxpayers dollars to get a big corporation like Amazon in here, while the little guys, the little retail guys, as you alluded to, Kim, have to work their rear ends off to try to compete against the big guys. That's not okay.
It's not okay.
Point
Molly.
Is, Amazon doesn't need the money, but big government and big business, They like each other. They need each other. They know how it works. And the people that get, you know, it handed to them is us, the rest of us, because it's our money that's paying for that. And like you said, Kimmy, they're not giving us details, so we're not having a vote.
That's right. And it's a bipartisan
Of course
deal.
It is, because they're right versus left. They're all in it.
Yep. So that's what's on my radar. What's on your radar?
Well, I'm excited. I've been very disappointed with our Congress, that they, you know, have been saying that they were going to fix our healthcare system, they were going to fix the taxes so that the little guy could actually save a little bit more money. They're not really seeming to get a lot done. But I am happy to see that the Senate Judiciary, right now they are sitting down with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and they are telling him that they are opening a case. They want to probe the Russian nuclear bribery case that took place back when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, mm-hmm. when Eric Holder was the Attorney General at the time, all under the Obama administration. Kimmy, you and I had Peter Schweizer on a couple years ago, I think, on
our
show.
We need to get him back on.
He wrote the book Clinton Cash. Check it out. If you haven't read it, read it. He breaks down the uranium deal. And the really big deal here is, you know, as you know, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and her husband, Bill Clinton, former president, was out doing speeches, presentations in Russia and in the Middle East. But this is only about Russia right now. But all these different places where supposedly these people don't totally love America and have Americans' best interest at heart. And he's out there doing these speeches and making millions and millions of dollars that's going straight into the Clinton Foundation. These companies, it would seem to an intelligent person who was looking at the facts, were buying favors from the American government, favors for foreigners, not for our countries, not for our companies here, for other companies. Peter Schweizer, he pointed that out. Nothing ever happened. Why would anybody look into it while President Obama was still in place, Hillary Clinton was still in place? Now, they sold 20% of the United States uranium to Russia. Russia, right?
You mean Russia, now, the one that they're talking about?
The one
about
that supposedly that, yeah. they think the President Trump's colluding with, but we know who was colluding with Russia, and that was the Clintons. And so this is really interesting to me that they're going to start looking into this. But here's the big deal, Kimmy. Apparently, when this group, it's the CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, when this committee decided that, yes, they were going to approve the sale of 20% of our uranium to Russia, already they all knew the FBI had been investigating this Russian state company, Rosatom, and for looking for kickbacks, money laundering, bribery, scheming, all of this. These guys were being watched by the FBI, and still Hillary Clinton, who was on that panel, Attorney General Eric Holder was on that panel, the Treasury Secretary was on that panel. They knew it, and they approved the sale anyways. That is dirty, Kimmy, mm-hmm. exactly at the same time that Hillary Clinton's husband was getting paid millions going to the Clinton Foundation.
Very naughty. Very, very naughty.
Selling access to the government for their own personal financial gain. That's not good. Follow the money, honey. So I'm excited anyways. Basically, and The Hill broke the story yesterday, and they said the FBI had evidence that Russian nuclear officials were involved in a racketeering scheme as early as 2009, well before the uranium deal was approved. So the great thing is Senator Chuck Grassley today has just asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions to look into this. They want to reach out to the federal agencies. They want to ask them, when did they know about the FBI uncovering this corruption? Before the approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome, because I have been just so discouraged that our government seems to be above the law.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what they do, the Clinton email scandal, no matter what they do, it's like they get away with it. But other people go to jail for ridiculous little, you know, traffic stops or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. silly little misdemeanors. And I'm ready for the big guys that are doing the really bad things that are hurting us and hurting our national security.
Yeah. Camp.
Giving 20% of our uranium to Russia.
Right.
That's not really in our best interest, is
no,
it? And what's the role of government? To protect the people
right.
here
right.
in America.
Well, we are hearing that FBI, former FBI Director James Comey, is truth challenged.
Clearly.
Yeah. And another thing is apparently he's quoted, I heard the tape yesterday. He said that he had not made any kind of a decision prior to, his interview with Hillary Clinton regarding, you know, the probe and all of her stuff. And then they just found out that almost two months before then, he had already basically made his decision. I think the American people are tired, are tired of being lied to by politicians and bureaucrats and lobbyists. I think that we are at a turning point here in America, obviously, with the election of President Trump. And I mean, it's astounding to me. He is getting up every day and he is unwinding all of this nasty stuff that has been going on for many, many years, not just under the Obama administration, but before that as well.
Yeah, all of them. All of them. I think they've all been totally corrupt. I'm so tired of politics. I can't stand it. But politics is very interested in us. And that's what we've got to pay attention and keep our eyes on the process. But you know what, Kimmy? I have been told time and time again that in America, we are innocent until we are proven guilty. But I have felt in the past, say, 10 years or so, that we, the people, have been looked at as guilty until we prove ourselves innocent. But the government is getting away with murder.
Wow.
And I am excited to see that Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Chuck Grassley is going to open up this case and start to do some investigating.
Wow. Wow. Yep. Boy, it's exciting times. And we're going to have a really great...
I love to say nice things about politicians. Finally. Yeah,
finally.
This is one.
It's so few and far between. So we are going to be talking with kind of a politician in our next segment. John
former
Andrews,
politician.
Former politician. Former state Senate president, John Andrews. He's been part of this whole political dialogue in Colorado for many, many years. And he has a really great website, thebackboneamerica.net. And he puts great blogs out, and we're going to have him talk about As America Sleeps, the Armed Man Comes. It's going to be a little scary, but
stick
I'm glad
us.
To talk to him.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees, active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the Americhicks referral list at Americhicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. You know, it's October, which means Halloween is coming, and it's scary movie time for people who like that kind of thing. And our good friend Susan Koshevar has the historic 88 Drive-In. You just heard the commercial, but I just wanted to let you know what the movies are going to be. So starting on Friday, it's Blade Runner 2049, then Flatliners, remake of the old classic one, and American Made. So check those out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gonna be kind of
scary. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, so do it.
Yeah, yeah. So we have on the phone with us John Andrews, former state Senate president, and he has backbone,
America.net.
John Andrews, thanks for calling in today. Welcome to the Americhicks show.
Hi, John Andrews.
Hey, Molly, Kim, how are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
Great to be with you today. How are the chicks?
We're just fine. We're talking about these big ideas and And in this battle of ideas that's going on in America today, and man, you are thinking about it, aren't you, John Andrews?
I love your show because you take on those deep, serious, big issues that determine does America survive and thrive, or do we go by the wayside? You and I are unwilling to see our beloved country go by the wayside.
Well, you are right on that. John Andrews, you really took a nice trip here recently, it sounds like, and you were at a 58-nation conference in Poland, and it was a human dimension implementation meeting. Is that right? A forum on human rights?
Yeah, well, that'll make people's eyes glaze over. Here's what it is, Molly. There is an organization called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe that was established by the Helsinki Accords in the Cold War years of 1975. It was meant to challenge the Soviet Union and its satellite nations to guarantee basic human rights. And even after the end of the Cold War, they still have all kinds of activities involving not only Europe, but America and Europe's neighbors. And this annual conference focuses especially on human rights and above all on free speech. And Muslim activists and their Marxist allies have penetrated the workings of the conference year in and year out. And I was invited by friends who are trying to wake up Americans to the agenda to make this into an Islamic country and make America Islamic, to attend the free speech conference in Poland with almost 60 nations represented and speak up for America's historic ideals of free speech, that you can't have thought control, you can't police ideas. And believe me, we were swimming upstream. There is a powerful current to take Islamic blasphemy law, which is essentially says any criticism of Muslims, Islam, the Quran, or the Prophet Muhammad is off limits, and make that into the law of nations. And it's coming to Europe, and it's coming to the United States if we don't resist it.
I wonder how NFL football players would feel about being forced to adhere to this particular religion. You know, I find it.
That is a great connection, Kim. I hadn't thought of the way those two big issues connect. But the fact is, Americans are very, very attached to our freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly. And these concepts are just disallowed by the political religious system called Islam that has the allegiance of over a billion people, that has some 50-plus countries allied to it or really governed by it now. And they have, as I said a moment ago, and I'm not exaggerating, they've had for 50 years in writing a design to Islamize America. And oddly, people on the left who are sympathetic to the Muslim agenda would be the first victims of it if it ever prevailed in this country.
Right, right. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We're talking with John Andrews. Yes, many of the people that typically have kind of been supporting the leftist agenda say, let's say LGBT. LGBT does not fare very well in Islamic countries.
Well, it's an understatement. There's film of them throwing gay and lesbian people off the top of buildings for no other crime than their sexual orientation. And that is in keeping with the brutal rules and punishments in their holy book, the Quran. And that is what is coming to this country if Americans don't wake up.
Well, you know, John, what's interesting is this is also being taught in our schools here in America. Molly and I have had a number of parents reach out to us from several different school districts about things that are being taught in the public schools. And there's a couple of things. I don't think that we are equipping our children to be able to read and write and do arithmetic, having the tools that they need to be successful in life. But I think that we are also teaching agendas, not all teachers. I mean, we certainly have great teachers. But just within the last couple of weeks, we've had two different parents reach out to us concerned about what's going on in the classroom. And one of them was regarding having children, I guess it was supposed to be world religions, getting down on prayer rugs, repeating things about Allah. And this is happening right here in Metro Denver.
imagine if public school classrooms were used to introduce children to core doctrines and rituals of the Christian faith, Molly and Kim. Suppose on a given day, Mrs. Brown's third grade class was going to go through a mock ceremony of communion with grape juice and wafers. Imagine if kids were handed Catholic rosaries and told to learn to pray that prayer. Many of our listeners, perhaps the three of us, feel congenial and warm towards those beliefs and customs, but we wouldn't force them into the public schools, and yet that's exactly what's being done with Islamic beliefs and customs.
Well, and, you know, John Andrews, right here in America, I think a lot of people think, oh, well, this is just happening here. It's not a big deal. It's maybe one school. It's one district. It's one little area. Just don't push back too much. It's not happening everywhere. But basically, I mean, with you, John Andrews, coming back from this 58-nation conference in Poland and telling us what was on the agenda, what kind of bullet points and talking points were put into place that even at this level, it's pushing it out worldwide around the globe. Do you mind, John, sharing with the people kind of a couple of those bullet points? I saw, you know, your writing that you wrote on Western Civilization Today, Orwell or Voltaire. You got up and you did an excellent speech and you made some great bullet points talking to them and reminding everybody there about the free thinkers in Europe of past and what has changed today. Do you mind just sharing that with our listeners?
Well, it was Voltaire, the French philosopher, interestingly an atheist, no great friend of the Christian faith, but in the 1700s, he famously said, "I disagree with what you say, but I would defend to the death your right to say it." And I made the point at this international human rights conference in Poland a month ago that we now have Voltaire's thought perverted and inverted in two steps. Step one is that many European governments have now categorized criticism of Islam, even reading embarrassing passages from Islam's own holy book, the Quran, in a public setting. They've categorized that as hate speech. And the leader of our delegation, Elizabeth Wolff of Vienna, Austria, is actually fighting a conviction under Austrian law for having read out from the history of Islam and from the Quran and their own holy book, the Hadith, uncomfortable facts about Muhammad's nine-year-old girl, with whom he sexually consummated his marriage. She was convicted of hate speech. These are laws that are coming in one country after another, and I made the point at this conference that the message from European governments to people who wish to freely express their beliefs and ideas is, we disagree with what you say, and we will fine you or jail you for daring to say it. But it gets worse, because under Islamic blasphemy law, which we have seen played out against the Charlie Hebdo humor magazine in Paris, against the Danish cartoonists who drew caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, an effort to murder an American, Pamela Geller putting on a similar Muhammad cartoon contest in Texas. Islamic blasphemy law says, we disagree with what you say, and we will put you to death for saying it. That is not an exaggeration, as I told this conference. That is happening. And there is a push under a UN resolution, UN Resolution 1611, to enact this into the laws, first of the United Nations as a world body, and then to push it into the laws state by state of 190 countries that belong to the United Nations.
Now, John Andrews, that's really quick, would that UN resolution on hate speech, would that only be against blasphemy against Islam, or would that be against blasphemy of all religions?
It's more subtle than that. They're very clever. They're very indirect upon occasion. They would say that criticism of any religion I forget the exact language, but it's very broad. To bring into disrepute or mockery or disrespect toward anyone else's religion is hate speech, and the full power of the state to fine you or jail you will be deployed.
It's absolutely
safe spaces and lack of First Amendment or free speech all over the world by law.
Yeah. It's astounding, John. And interestingly enough, I think that we're going to want to go over to this article a little bit. You said, as America sleeps, the armed man comes. And I kind of had a front row seat on this because I served on the board of Lutheran Family Services for 6 years. And the last couple as vice chair of program services. And I got onto that organization because I was thinking it's a Christian organization helping refugees and foster kids and adoption. But then as I really started to see what was going on, out of like a $12 million budget, $10 million was coming from government money. And the minute that happens, you can no longer talk about the Christian faith. And then I realized that we weren't really bringing in persecuted Christians. We were bringing in, you know, people from all over the world. And I don't think that all of them were totally vetted. And we're bringing them in. We're paying to bring them here. And then we're paying for, you know, energy assistance, rent assistance, cash assistance, medical assistance. And I think that ultimately some of these people that have been coming in, I think even like the Boston Bombers came in under these refugee resettlement programs.
Well, and settling them in many cases, clustering them into communities state by state across this country without the consent of the local government and the residents of those communities. Folks out there in any town, Middle America, USA, you're about to have literally thousands of Somalis, let us say, Muslim fundamentalist Somalis from halfway around the world settle in your town. And before long, their religious customs, their dietary customs, their customs of required religious dress for women, their supposed Sharia law that authorizes domestic violence for a man to beat his wife behind closed doors at their home. This is going to be part of your community there in any town, USA, and you had nothing to say about it. And that's being done, as you said, Kim, through the agency of a number of Christian-denominated organizations, Lutheran Family Services that you referenced being one of them, in state after state across this country with tens of millions, for all I know, hundreds of billions, millions into the billions.
Yes, hold that thought. We're going to go to break. We're talking with John Andrews regarding his article, As America Sleeps, the Armed Man Comes. This is the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whiddon, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
Are you concerned, perplexed about the events happening in America today? Where can you go for answers? Check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom, teach citizenship, and renew the spirit of 1776. Check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu.
Hey, talk about trying to save your money. You can do that by bringing in good partners to help you with your business, especially if you're starting up a new business. You know you can't always afford to have an entire IT staff on board, and that's why we wanted to introduce you all to our favorite person, Bill Imony with EvanYourITGuy.com. Check out his new company. They're a network of IT professionals ready to provide on-demand help with your computer needs. Go to EvanYourITGuy.com, scroll to the bottom under Discover, see free webcam cover. Fill it out, the contact form, say the Americhicks sent you, and they will send a free webcam cover your way, which I love because you can just click it back and forth anytime you want to be seen and don't want to be seen through the camera on your computer. But even better than that, Evan, your IT guy, is hiring veterans. So if you know any veterans that are looking for a job and they've got IT skills, then send them to Evan, your IT guy. And then, hey, let's say it. How many times a week do you have a computer issue? Memory, failure, software, hardware, whatever you got. I know
that's
I'm looking at
week.
Cam when I say that. But instead of bugging your neighbors, you can call EvanYourITGuy.com 24/7 and they'll help you. So
yep.
Check them out.
Definitely. And let's get back to what we're talking about here. We have John Andrews on the line with us, a former state Senate president of Colorado. I mean, he's founded many different think tanks. He's been a part of the political debate and landscape in Colorado for years. And one of the organizations that he founded was the Centennial Institute, which we were just talking about. But John, we're big fans of yours. I mean, you are a real thinker and you have a real love for America, the American idea. You have an understanding of the founding. And we are in a time right now in America. They don't understand that there's real risk to this wonderful American idea that we have.
Kim, Mutual Admiration Society, I'm a big fan of the Americhicks. I love what you do, and always a pleasure and an honor to be your guest on the air. Before we get back to the discussion of my experiences trying to wake up America to the political agenda of Islam, I want to just set a couple of baselines. The two articles that you and I have been talking about in the previous segment, we'll continue exploring, are on my blog at my website, backboneamerica.net, backboneamerica.net. Scroll down to the America blog section and read those two articles. One about the conference I attended in Warsaw, 58 Nation Free Speech Conference, and the other one about some observations after coming home that caused me to believe so many Americans who ought to know better are asleep to this threat. So that's my website, backboneamerica.net. I'm allied with a group, I'm actually their national board chairman, called Understanding the Threat, and their website, understandingthethreat.com, has got terrific resources as far as a frequent email feed, a book about the jihadi agenda to take over America that folks can order, a quick, informative 100-page read. And those two sites, backboneamerica.net and understandingthethreat.com. Then one quick thought about our First Amendment to the Constitution. No establishment of religion, no action by Congress or any level of U.S. government in this country to impede the free exercise of religion. People immediately say, John Andrews, how can you criticize the faith of my Muslim neighbor, my Muslim coworker? I know these folks, they seem to be decent folks. Isn't there room for them in America? As individuals, there certainly is room for them in America, but they serve a system which is primarily political in disguise as a religion. And so it poses a very difficult problem for us in terms of how we can be neighborly, and you and I as Christians are commanded to love our neighbor and indeed love our enemy. But at the same time, how do we protect this country from a religion that does not accord freedom to others?
Right.
I believe in freedom of religion, but only for religions that themselves believe in freedom. And that's the riddle we're trying to work our way
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for religions that don't tell us to kill other people who don't believe as we do. That's why we say free speech is okay.
Well, and you know, one of the things, John, that America was founded on was property rights. And it was really revolutionary to have this idea that everyday people could have property. And of course, in the Declaration, it says life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And, you know, all of that coincides all together. And when you've got a religion that is masquerading or a political system that's masquerading as a religion, that at the core of it would kill people, take their life, take their stuff, because they don't believe a certain way, that there's no way that matches up with the Constitution and the Declaration of the United States.
And I don't claim to have an answer in a quick discussion on the radio on a Wednesday afternoon, but I...
How about Thursday? Could you give us a solution tomorrow?
Give me 24 hours.
Okay.
I'll have the whole problem solved. But here's what I know. I know that defining the problem is the first step towards beginning to grapple with it, manage it, and hopefully solve the problem. And the fact that Americans a year ago elected a president who is willing to say we face the threat of radical Islamic terrorism, who is willing to say we need extreme vetting for people who come from countries that have proven to be hotbeds of religious-inspired violence, in this case, Islamic-inspired violence, we are better off in America because Donald Trump, rather than Hillary Clinton, who would not utter the words radical Islamic terrorism, sits in the White House today. Whatever one thinks of the pluses and minuses of President Trump, at least we are one step towards defining the problem. And the problem is the political and religious entanglement of a total, really totalitarian system called Islam. What it does to subjugate women, Molly and Kim, you as the Americhicks, you're all about women's free expression, women's full participation in American society. Islamic religious political teaching subjugates women. Women are second class. Women are subject to domestic violence by their husbands. Young women are subject to honor killings if their father feels they have been sexually promiscuous. It is a nightmare. And this is a system that wants to colonize America. That's what all that refugee resettlement is ultimately about. There's an Arab word called Hijra, which is part of the doctrine of the religion, political system of Islam, that says you're going to go in great strength, in great numbers to other countries, establish a presence there, and ultimately take over and rule. They're on the way to doing it in Europe, and they want to do it in this country. I don't claim to have all the answers, but we have to start by defining the problem and facing the reality of the problem.
Well, you're right, John Anders. And one of the things that we're trying to do, of course, as the Americhicks, is to keep this open dialogue and conversation. You see Governor Jerry Brown in California passing laws saying that if you don't call somebody by the right pronoun, you can actually go to jail. I mean, this I would say it's crazy and laugh at it, but you know, you're hearing this same stuff when you're in Poland at this 58-nation conference. This is a global thing. They are trying to shut down the voice of regular people. And when we get to the point where we're not allowed to say anything at all that might offend anybody, we're not going to be able to say anything at all. And I know that that's what some people want. John Anders, you know, when it comes to Hollywood has so much, they have so much effect. They have so much, they can really shape and change people's minds and marketing and framing different arguments and situations. And one of the things that they're trying to do right now is to show Islam as the victim that was attacked by the Christians back during the Crusades. You had sent us a message talking about somebody that you met recently who brought up a Netflix series he was watching, and it was telling the complete opposite about what happened in the Crusades. Do you mind sharing that story with us? And then let's talk a little bit about what really happened in the Crusades so that people know the truth.
From the time that Christ rose from the dead and then ascended and formed his church on the day of Pentecost by the descent of the Holy Spirit upon his apostles, where did that happen? Jerusalem, the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The entire Mediterranean basin, North Africa, Turkey, all the way around the south shore through Italy, through France, through Spain, and ultimately into northern Europe, became Christian lands following the cross of Jesus Christ. That was taken away by the sword, vast areas of it in the eastern Mediterranean and along the shore of North Africa, Egypt, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, all the way west to Gibraltar. Spain was taken by the conquering armies, not by the evangelizing persuasion of reason or faith, but by the conquering sword of Islam. And that set the scene for the Crusades, which was really a counterattack by European Christians wishing to assert the rights of oppressed Christians in lands that had been conquered by the Islamic sword. Well, there is a series out of Turkey, and the country of Turkey is a fascinating study in itself right now because they've got this strongman president, really dictator. He fiddles the election system to stay in office, Recep Erdogan. And
you know, John, let's stop right here. We need to go to break. Let's stop with that thought. We're going to come back then, and you're going to explain what's going on in Turkey. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. We're talking with John Andrews, and we'll be right back. When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the Americhicks program, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at americhicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Smoke and mirrors, it's not only in media. It's also coming out of Hollywood. And there's a series right now Netflix has put together. Actually, it's been out already for three seasons, apparently. And it's pro-Islamic. It is a historical drama where Muslim Turks in the 13th century heroically resist crusading Christians bent on plunder and conquest. And clearly it is meant to tell us something untrue about what happened previously in the history of the Christian faith and the Islamic faith together. And so we have on air with us right now John Andrews, who is telling us this story and kind of breaking it down for us. John was the former state Senate president. He has backboneamerica.net. Check out the website, backboneamerica.net. A lot of really great writings on here. So, John Andrews, let's get back to telling us about this new show, the new Netflix series Turkey.
Molly, it's sort of a canary in the coal mine. That is, the fact that a powerful video distribution service like Netflix can feature in very sympathetic, distorted portrayal the idea of the poor, innocent Muslims being brutalized by the bloodthirsty Christians from faraway Europe for three seasons. 100 episodes are now available online when you go looking on the website. And people who want to look it up, check it for yourself. It's called Ertuğrul, Resurrection. The first word is a Turkish word, the name of the central character of the series, Ertuğrul, Ertuğrul. I'm probably not saying it quite as a native Turkish speaker would say it, but it is a completely inverted portrayal of what was in fact a Christian European counterattack to reclaim lands for many centuries dedicated to the worship of Jesus Christ, with toleration of other worship amongst them, that had been brutally conquered by the sword of Islam. That's not the way this Erdogruel Netflix series portrays it at all. They portray it as if the poor Muslims of Turkey were minding their own business when suddenly invaded by bloodthirsty, brutal Christians. It's one more illustration. I'm not saying ban it from the air, but I was shocked that a friend of mine who ought to know better, who's very involved in local politics, he practices law, he's an elder in his church, he's a conscientious husband and father, follower of Christ, was taken in by the entertainment allure of this show and hadn't stopped to think about the fact that it's one more way of softening up the minds of Americans for a silent, gradual penetration of our culture, our communities, and our way of life, and indeed our form of government, by a fundamentally alien and hostile political system with a religious veneer on it called Islam. And I've just said enough in the last few words to start many, many hours of debates and discussion, and probably I've upset some people in saying so. You can give them the right of reply on another show, Molly and Kim, but Americans have got to be awake to the way entertainment, among many other media, is constantly slanted to put us off guard to this political system disguised as a religion that wants to conquer America.
You know, I don't know. On Netflix, I wonder if it says if a movie is based on fiction or nonfiction. Do you know if it does it say?
If you're going to begin to have disclaimers about the dividing line between truth and imagination and fiction and fact and history and fantasy, you would revolutionize and perhaps grind to a halt the entire entertainment industry. And I'm not recommending that at all. I'm just simply saying this is one more symptom of Americans, in the person of my friend whom I've called Jack to avoid using his real name. My friend Jack ought to know better. Yeah. Lots of your listeners ought to know better. Maybe some people are feeling that John Andrews has engaged in a disgust of bigotry over the last half hour with the Americhicks. That's not my intention at all. It's just to look at things exactly as they appear in the published writings of the Islamic faith, their Quran, their holy book, and then the Muslim Brotherhood's own published declaration of a desire to make America an Islamic country.
You know, John, I think there's a naivety that has occurred with Americans. And I think it happened when we started to teach more relativism in school versus that there's a real solid right and wrong. And I think it started, at least I for sure happened in the 60s and 70s, where you got to, you have your truth, I have my truth, and it's all kumbaya. But you know what? That doesn't really work.
It doesn't, because ultimately government still has the power to make laws and enforce those laws at the point of a gun, with, as my friend in Austria learned from reading from the Quran in a public meeting and being reported to the authorities, the point of a gun that can lead to fines or jail. And ultimately there is going to be either freedom under our Constitution, especially our Bill of Rights and our First Amendment, or there is going to be thought police and thought control and hate speech and hate crimes and an entire new body of law that tells you have just uttered the forbidden, you have just thought the forbidden, and we are going to be punished. America must not go there.
Well, and John, I never dreamed this would happen in my lifetime, but we are here. This battle is here. And I know that's one of the reasons why, I think the real battle is the battle of ideas. And that's why you do what you do. That's why Molly and I are doing what we do.
The idea of the freely choosing individual, the idea of a supreme being, God, who created us and who will judge us at the end of this life, at the end of history, and the idea that we're not empowered to tell each other in detail who that supreme being is or what he expects of us. If we want to say what she expects of us, if that's someone's idea of deity, well, so be it. It's a free country, the United States of America. It used to be a free Western civilization centered on Europe, but as I learned at the conference in Warsaw, Poland, less and less free when you look at Europe. But those ideas have got to be reasserted, as you say, through the media, through entertainment, We were just talking about Hollywood and Netflix. They've got to be reasserted through the schools, as you referenced earlier. Thank you so much for the witness that you provide through this program.
Well, it's a calling on our heart, John, and it's because I care deeply about the American idea. I'm not quite sure. I think I asked you one time, where did you come up with this? And somehow it seems like I was almost born with it, this idea. I think it's really that my grandparents and my parents, you know, really talked about the American idea. But where did you get this love for America?
Well, my family poured it into me. In the heartland of America, in Missouri and Michigan and Colorado, where I grew up, my church poured it into me. I went to a school associated with my church, and I was taught to love the great books and to love our form of government, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution. I was taught to pledge allegiance to the flag every day, not idolizing some secular symbol of nationhood, but recognizing that red, white, and blue represents our opportunity to be free, to earn a living, to follow our dreams, to develop our full potential, to disagree with our neighbor and not be punished for that disagreement. It was poured into me in childhood. It was forged deeper into me by serving in the uniform of our country as a naval submarine officer for a few years, winning and losing elections, serving in government, seeing my ideas sometimes rejected, sometimes adopted. It's a lifetime that now has me in my 70s, and I'm sprinting. As long as I can, I want the last lap to be the strongest, because we've got a country to save here. And the historical actuarial charts say that great nations fade somewhere around 250 years. America's getting there. Are we going to fade? Not if the three of us have anything to say about it.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, John, Molly and I stood on the beaches of Omaha and at Normandy Cemetery, and I looked at somebody the other day as we were, you know, working on something. I said, if they can do that, we can do this. And
oh, boy, so true. It's inspiring over there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's holy ground. It's holy ground, just like Gettysburg is holy ground. Final thoughts. We're talking with John Andrews, BackboneAmerica.net. Final thought, John. The time goes way too quickly. We need to have you back soon.
People ought to look at that BackboneAmerica.net website that I edit, and also my colleague John Guendolo, former FBI counterterrorism expert, has a site called Understanding the Threat, understandingthethreat.com. Check that out. Get on the distribution list for my email updates and email updates from Understanding the Threat. Your listeners are part of what's going to make the difference. Does America survive or does she go by the wayside? We refuse not to go down fighting.
That's for sure. John Andrews, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Riveting conversation. And be sure, listeners, and check out BackboneAmerica.net. It really will get you thinking. You know, we only each have 24 hours in a day, Molly, and we choose what we do with that. That's one of the things about the pursuit of happiness, that we get to choose how we spend our time. And ideally, we get to the choices that we make. We have a responsibility for those choices. And it's time for us to, I think, turn off a bunch of the junk that is out there. And it's time for us to seek big ideas again, the big ideas that people thought about that made America great. I was walking neighborhoods just recently and was talking to a gentleman who has a son in one of the Douglas County high schools. And in their English lit class, instead of studying, what you think, maybe Shakespeare or maybe the Gettysburg Address or, you know, maybe some of this great literature that's out there, they're studying a Black Lives Matter author.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know, you know, what was it, a year or two ago, when what was the Bluest Eyes, and it was this child rape, and it was just terrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing. They're trying to feed our minds, our kids' minds, our children's minds with filth and just negative things and victimhood and what have you. But one of the reasons I think it is good to go look at BackboneAmerica.net and John Andrews' writings is when we are going to arm up in the battle of ideas, we've got to be able to back up our thoughts and our talking points. And to get those talking points, go to people that you know and you trust and look at what they've been writing, and that's where you pull it from. I mean, you've got people that keep talking about, oh, well, the Muslims are, it's all okay. It was the Christians that came after them. They repressed the Muslims. And now that's almost like we've got to pay them back, just like, you know, we've got the white privilege problem right now. And everybody here is responsible for something that happened before they were ever born. But the truth is, look for the truth. And as John Andrews made the point, the Crusades were a Christian counteroffensive to retake the lands lost to the Muslims by the sword. So, just search for truth, because there's not a lot out there, but it is if you search.
Okay, I'm going to try to get James Madison's quote in here. It says, every man who loves peace, every man who loves his country, every man who loves liberty ought to have it ever before his eyes, that he may cherish it in his heart, a due attachment to the Union of America, and be able to set a due value on the means of preserving it. James Madison reminds me of John Andrews.